Hello and welcome to A Killer Podcast, where we perfected paranoia. I'm your host, Jordan Kaminsky, and here with me today are legal expert Lauren McCambridge and forensic scientist Paige Walsh. Today we're talking about the gruesome case of Bind, Torture, Kill, or BTK murderer, also known as Dennis Rader, who murdered 10 people and tormented police and citizens of Wichita, Kansas for 30 years. Thank you for tuning into this special episode of A Killer Podcast, Dennis the Menace. We'll begin this episode with an overview of the case we'll be discussing. It all started on January 15th, 1974. The Otero family was found murdered brutally in their home in a frightening display. There were four members killed by the BTK on this date: Mr. and Miss Otero, their two children, Junior and Josephine. All four were asphyxiated. The father and son were suffocated by plastic bags over their heads, the mother was strangled by a rope, and the daughter was hung from a pipe in the basement. The family was discovered dead by their third child, Charlie, who was not in the home at the time of the murders. To add to the nightmare scenario, semen was found at the crime scene, which was determined to be part of the motive, sexual fantasy. The next murder occurred in the same year, 1974, just 4 months apart. The victim, Catherine Bright, was killed on April 4th. The BTK broke into her apartment while she was out. When she returned, she was stabbed multiple times and strangled until she died. Also involved was Catherine's brother, Kevin, who was shot twice by the BTK, but survived to give a description to the police. The next encounter with the BTK occurred in October of that same year. Five more murders occurred in similar fashion until his eventual capture in 2004, due to the BTK getting sloppy and leaving forensic evidence behind for the police to trace. To take a deep dive into the forensic evidence and how the BTK was eventually caught, we have a special guest on today's podcast, Paige Walsh, a local forensic scientist and expert on the BTK case. Good morning, Paige, and thank you for being here.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you for having me.
So, Paige, what can you tell us about the forensic evidence in this case?
Well, this case was a doozy. BTK was careful. He never left much evidence at crime scenes. As far as fingerprints go, there were none. However, there was some DNA evidence. BTK derived sexual pleasure from killing his projects, so he left semen at many of the crime scenes, such as the Otero murder, Shirley Vane, and Nancy Fox. This will be very important later, so remember that. The majority of the rest of the evidence came from BTK himself. Rader sent packages and notes to the police, newspapers, and news stations in his town. The packages often contained pictures of his victims, notes/sketches, and some of the personal belongings of his victims that he took as trophies. Police released an audio recording of his 911 call from the Nancy Fox murder in 1979 when Rader threatened to strike again. However, no one could identify his voice, so this led nowhere. Police noticed his distinctly poor handwriting from the letters Rader sent to the media and used this to narrow down their suspect pool. However, the most groundbreaking piece of evidence came when Rader sent his last package. In his second-to-last package, BTK asked the police if they were able to use a floppy disk to track down the computer it was made on. Police lied to him and said no, even though they could. This led to the floppy disk being sent to KSAS-TV in February of 2005. Forensic technology specialists were able to hack into the metadata and trace the floppy back to the Christ Lutheran Church, where Rader was a prominent member, and then even further to find that the last person on the computer when the floppy was made used the username Dennis. A simple look through the church directory identified Dennis Rader as the most likely suspect. Police then noticed that Rader had a black Jeep that was seen in multiple surveillance videos of the sites where BTK dropped his packages for the media. This led to the police getting a DNA sample from Rader's daughter and comparing it to the data found at the BTK crime scenes. When they realized that Rader was linked to the floppy disk that BTK sent to the police and the car that was outside most of the places where his packages were dropped, they decided to try and link him with DNA too and to make a stronger case. Police obtained a sample of Rader's daughter's DNA from a hospital she had recently visited and compared it to the DNA left at the crime scenes by BTK. They got a familial match quickly and picked up Dennis Rader.
Wow, that's amazing. The forensic scientists were really working hard on this case. I can't believe they pieced that together like that.
Exactly. Forensic experts are one of the main reasons Dennis Rader is behind bars today.
Well, thank you for your analysis, Paige. We'll hear from more from you later in the program.
It was my pleasure.
Furthering the evidence on BTK, we are joined with special guest Lauren McCambridge, the attorney on Rader's case. Hello, Lauren, and thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Jordan. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, how did the trial go overall?
So-called self-named BTK serial killer Dennis Rader was sentenced to 10 consecutive life terms after the court heard statements from his victims' families and listened to Rader himself express remorse. With a minimum sentence of 175 years, Rader, being 60 at the time, will be placed in a maximum security prison near Wichita. The State Department of Corrections will decide whether he will spend his time in a 23-hour lockdown cell or in the general prison population.
I'd vote for general population,
prosecutor Nola Falston told CNN. The only issue at the time was Judge Gregory Waller of Sedgwick County District would decide if Rader would serve his life sentences consecutively or concurrently, meaning if he would serve them all at the same time or finishing one sentence before you start another. Rader could not face the death penalty because Kansas did not reinstate capital punishment until 1994, 3 years after his last killing. The sister of victim Nancy Fox said Rader
does not deserve to live.
This man needs to be thrown into a deep, dark hole and left to rot,
said Beverly Platt. Prior to the sentencing, Rader, dressed in a blue suit, had apologized to the victim's family in a rambling statement and wiped tears from his eyes. He described himself as a sexual predator and self-centered and added, "I seem to crave the attention of the media." Rader then went on to discuss each of his victims, drawing parallels between his life and theirs. The prosecutor accused Rader of hiding under the umbrella of being a husband, a Boy Scout leader, and church official to get away with what he was doing. During morning testimony Thursday, detectives described the killer as a man who lived two separate lives. They said he kept meticulous records of his fantasies and crimes in what he called his motherlode collection of pornography, but managed to keep that part of his life secret from his wife and two children. Rader, who called himself BTK for bind, torture, and kill, pleaded guilty in June to 10 murders committed from 1974 to 1991. The killer taunted authorities as well as the media through letters and packages he sent over several years. Rader was arrested in February after investigators discovered his identity from a computer disk he had sent police. In his killings, he took trophies from victims, including jewelry and clothing. He also snapped hundreds of Polaroid photographs of his victims and chronicled the community's reaction to his killings by collecting newspaper articles. In the office of his 900-square-foot home, he created folders and binders that documented his crimes. He also collected hundreds of index cards on which he glued and taped pictures he had cut from newspapers and magazines showing models. Some boys, but most of them girls and young women, he had also made notations on the back of each card, indicating his sexual and criminal fantasy. Wichita Police Detective Ken Landwehr said, in a shed on his property, police found soiled lingerie and a number of sexually oriented books and magazines carefully protected in plastic. Rader would sometimes set up his tripod and Polaroid in hotel rooms and take pictures of himself in various stages of bondage, Landwehr said. He was a practitioner of autoerotic activity, Landwehr said, adding that Rader at times would cut his own supply of oxygen in search of a heightened feeling of euphoria during sexual release.
Well, now that we know everything about the BTK killer case and trial, we come to the big question. Was justice served? To answer this question, I'm joined once again by my two special guests, local forensic scientist Paige Walsh and attorney Lauren Cambridge. So,
Do you guys think that justice was served?
I do think justice was served on the forensic end of this case. The forensic experts used very little evidence they had to build a solid case around Rader. The digital forensics was especially impressive since they tricked Rader into sending them a floppy disk that could be traced back to him. The way they found the location of the computer and the last user that made the floppy disk were pretty damning. However, the familial DNA match that they got from Rader's daughter was indisputable. Rader is BTK, and justice was served with his arrest and consecutive life sentences. Death would be too easy for such a heinous criminal.
What do you think, Lauren?
I do think justice was served, considering he will be serving life in jail, and there is no worse they could give him considering the state did not allow capital punishment at the time. Once hearing testimony from all witnesses, it was proven that he was only to blame for these heinous crimes. Considering everyone on the case did all they could to figure out who was the killer and was successful in eventually matching his daughter's DNA to his, which was found on the crime scene. It was then shown in court that there is nothing more we can do and he will not be leaving jail anytime soon.
Well, in my own opinion, justice was served in both aspects, the forensic and the legal standpoints. Forensic-wise, not only the floppy disk with his name on it was be able to trace back, but his own DNA was found at the scene of the crime, and he was able to be convicted without a trace of doubt. Regarding the legal side of the case, justice was also served, simply because, at the time, there was no punishment more severe than a life sentence, even more so 175 years. Dennis Rader would be behind bars for the rest of his life without the possibility for parole, and there is no greater punishment. So in the end, in our professional opinions, the Dennis Rader case was one served with justice, due to the forensic competence and a harsh and deserved judicial sentence. Now it's up for you to decide, was justice served? Thank you for listening to A Killer Podcast, where we've perfected paranoia. Stay safe out there.